For you, yeah, for those of you guys that don't know me, my name's Jeremy or Jeremiah. I go by now that I'm older. But yeah, I grew up here my whole life. And God, it's all God's grace. That's all I want to say. That's why I'm here. It's His mercy and grace. But it was awesome just seeing this this video on unity. That's one of the things I want to talk about today. And that'll be one of my last points because I want to talk about the armor of God. And how important it is to put on the full armor and to have that unity as a body. And as not just one church body, but a whole body internationally, holistically speaking. And so that's, yeah. So one of my first points I want to talk about God's love. And what I'm going to do, and I was talking to Matt earlier, and I wanted to kind of share my testimony with you guys because it's been 5 or 6 years since I've really been back here. So you guys might know me as the kid that lived here. Not the adult that that's had so much stuff happen. And so I kind of want to interweave like my testimony in with the message that I'm going to be speaking about because it's right on. It's plain and simple the gospel, and it's what saved me. It's what's completely changed how I live and how I'm genuine, how I can love more than I ever have before. It's all because of the gospel. And so I'm praying, and I want to pray before I speak, but I'm just praying that basically no attention will be on me, really, but just on Jesus. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit, He wants to glorify Jesus, and that's one of the main purposes, and that's one of the biggest things I want to be talking about, too, is the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, how He works through love, how He works through wisdom, and then without the Holy Spirit, we really can't have armor of God. And so that was going to be my last point I wanted to share. So let's open in prayer. And yeah, we'll go from there. Lord, just pray peace, Lord. Peace over this body, Lord. I know life's not easy sometimes, Father, and I know through struggles, God, through hardships, Lord, just in times when our hearts, Lord, they just don't feel as connected to You, Father. I pray that we can see that it doesn't start with us, Lord, learning to love. Lord, it starts with us receiving that love from You, God, and knowing the gospel, knowing that, Lord, we don't deserve anything, Father. Wretched sinners, Lord, it's all by Your grace that You saved us, Lord, and from there we can start loving, Lord. So I pray today, Father, that I can be vulnerable, Lord, and I can just speak out of true love, Lord, and genuineness, God, to my brothers and sisters, Lord, to just share You. And I don't want to share things about You, Lord. I want to share how I know You. And Lord, I want to genuinely just connect, Lord, Your love and in my life and in their lives, Lord, and Your wisdom, Lord, and Your armor, God, and why You've given that to us, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that any thoughts, Lord, that aren't of You, God, that You just take them away in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I know that the devil, like it says in the Bible, Lord, he's just walking around like a lion, just waiting to pounce on his prey, Lord. Just in his thoughts, Lord, just in our attitudes, how we feel, God. So I pray that you take all of that away, Lord, and you just you allow Your presence to just be in this place, Father, to where there's just peace and love, God, and I can just talk, Lord, out of love to my brothers and sisters, Father. So, Lord, just give me wisdom, Father, and just allow me to just be a vessel, to allow You to just speak through me, Father, and to speak encouragement and uplift those who are down, Father, and to just encourage those who are doing, Lord, Your will, God. In Your precious name, Jesus, amen. Cool, guys. Okay, so I wanted to start out in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, if you guys can turn there. What's awesome too, what I love doing is just like this song was talking about, quietness, like in stillness, just learning to push all worries aside, like you guys could do right now. Any worries we might have in our mind, we push it aside and we just focus on God. And because that's what it's all about, that can take all of our worries away. And so part of this is I was just having quiet time, and this verse popped in my head. And I know it's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need this. Because I was praying for you guys. I was just praying, seeing what I can share about. And so I wanted to start with this, and this will transition into everything, but this is a good foundation. And so Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So when I was reading this, I realized I've got some trust issues. I really do. And this is me being vulnerable to you guys. Just in the past, relationships, I've had people, I've given them money, they haven't given me money back, just all these things. And so, yeah, I got a little trust issues. I'm sure everyone else does somewhere. And so I think something I really started learning from God is I have to receive his genuine trust first before I can have that genuine trust for others. Because I see two different ways. I see an eternal perspective, and then I see a worldly perspective. And so when I don't trust others, I'm looking through a worldly perspective. And that's something I really realized due to this verse, is that's one of the biggest prayers I want to have is I want to see an internal perspective, and I want to be able to receive that trust from God. And so I started looking at other passages just about our identity and like who we are in Christ. If we receive Jesus into our lives, and I was looking at how well Jesus knows us. How he says he knows every single hair on your head. And he knows your every single thought. And then just in the mountains, you know, I'm sure you guys have all gone out to the mountains. But you go out to the mountains, you look at the beauty. There has to be a God when you look at the beauty. And then you look at the small piece of grass. And you lay there in your quietness. And you start seeing how intricately mated the grass is. It's so beautiful, the design in it. And so that's something with this, with trusting God, is knowing he's all around me. People, they're beautiful. Their hearts, how they show love. It's God's all around us when we can see that. And I hope you guys can see that from me kind of explaining like my perspective of how I see things. But yeah, starting with this verse, it's so crucial to trust God with all our heart. And before we can do that, we need to receive. We need to know for sure that Jesus did die for us, that we were wretched sinners, and he's alive, and we can see he's alive. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be here. And so that's that's something that's really been on my heart. And also, what's so neat is, it took me a long time to figure this out, but there's a difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And sometimes I have the hardest time distinguishing the two. And so I kind of wanted to dive in just into wisdom with you guys so we can kind of figure it out to see, okay, well, how does the Holy Spirit work through wisdom? And something I discovered and I want to share about is in my adventures, everything that I've done, I'll share about that later. But the only way I've been able to do all of this is through God's grace. And it's seen how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is wisdom. And the Holy Spirit works in wisdom. And so that's something I really wanted to dive into. And what's awesome too is three other churches I've been talking about, this is a year of wisdom. And so it's just awesome that God can kind of bring this up to where we can dive into it. So if you guys can all turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30. And I'm rocking just the NIV, just to give you guys a heads up. So it says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So as you can see, it says that Christ Jesus, he came for us. He is wisdom from God. And so something I've realized is the grandest, the best wisdom we can ever have on this earth is to believe in Jesus. Like, that's plain and simple. That's what it comes down to, because that's our salvation. That's what life is all about. That's why we were created, is to worship him. And so it's so funny sometimes how we get so distracted about, like, oh, is this godly wisdom or is this? And God just made it so simple and clear to me, is that the most powerful wisdom that we can ever receive from God is to just know Jesus and to know what he did. That is the utmost wisdom. And I'm going to biblically back this up for you guys. So I'm gonna start. It's just a little further. It's 1 Corinthians 2:6. Just a little hop and a skip. And it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age of the rulers of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Let me go a little further, actually. "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, and that we may understand what God has freely given us." And so that's something I see with wisdom, is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, godly wisdom. It's, we see what God's given us. It's salvation. And something I love, and I don't know about you guys, I love meditating, and so I love having my quiet time, and so a lot of times I'll pick one or two verses, and I'll just dive into these one or two verses for probably about a week, and so for like a week I went through this verse: "No eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." And so that's something that just blew my mind, because worldly wisdom, we like to have schedules, plans, agendas. We like to be in control. And so something I realized, though, is a lot of times that's not how the Holy Spirit works. And for example, I'm going to jump into my testimony now. I'm going to base it off of this point, how the Holy Spirit doesn't work through, and this is my experience, it may be different for you guys, how he doesn't work through schedules or agendas. But I was in the last year of Biola University. It's the Bible Institute of Los Angeles in LA. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was lost in a way. My grandma had just died. I broke up with my girlfriend. I was down. I was down in the pits. And I didn't know what to do. And I think that's when I really realized I knew a lot about God, but I wasn't really applying who God was to me. I didn't know Jesus enough in that way for him to comfort me through that time of need. And so that was the first time I really encountered Jesus and his comfort. It was like a year ago. And so that's when I just came to him completely humbled, saying, "God, it's not about me. It's, I want to be used by you. I need comfort right now. I'm in the lowest point of my life. I don't know what to do. And so I was face down on the ground in this prayer chapel, just crying out to God. And I fell asleep in this prayer chapel. It was planned, though. I was going to sleep, but not like that. And so I wake up. It was probably 3 in the morning. These lights turn on in the chapel room. And I almost thought it was an angel. You know, like you wake up and your eyes are a little like, you know, you don't see things clearly. They're a little fuzzy. And that's how I saw this Korean man, Samuel. And just smiling at me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like, you sent an angel. Like, this is awesome. And he was an angel, though. He changed. Yeah, God spoke through him in mighty ways. But that's what happened when I was just praying, like, full out. I gave him my all. I kind of, and I'm going to speak about this later, but kind of just gave my heart. Like, almost just put it out. Like, God, like, here's everything. Everything I can think of. Here it is. And so that's what I did then. And, like, that comfort, it just came. And then God just started saying, wow, you did give it your all, you know, this time. And I'm gonna bless you through this. So boom, boom, boom. All these events just started happening. And, like, that's my testimony is I didn't know what I was going to do. I met a friend, well, a good friend now, but I met him 2 days later then. And he said, hey, do you want to go to Korea and Indonesia with me? I'm feeling this strong calling from God. And I was praying. I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I wanted to climb the corporate ladder at first and get up. Like, I was working some, trying to work some corporate jobs, get up on the hierarchy. And boy, was I humbled. And from there, my friend said, hey, come to Indonesia. Like, I think it's God's will. And I said, okay, I'll pray. And then the Holy Spirit, man, he just started working. He made it so clear and so relevant of why I was to do this. And it was all through the gospel. It was I was showing people what fixes brokenness, like what it is, like how I encountered Jesus. That's what I was explaining. And yeah, long story short, through that, I ended up going to Indonesia and Korea. And wow, did it change my life. just going and not caring. And I'll say not caring in a way is not having an agenda all the time. And that's how the Holy Spirit works sometimes through his wisdom. I've realized is some days I love doing this. And it's very, you can even do it with a job. I think about it. If you have a career, if you have anything, you just before you even start going out, before you get that coffee, you just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Today, I'm yours. And just that short prayer of genuineness and that stillness and that peace that you have throughout the day, then the Holy Spirit works. Like, he's alive. And that's something I've realized is how randomly he works. I'd wake up in Indonesia and God said, go pray for that person randomly. I was like, Lord, that's an imam. You know, I can die by doing this. You know, and so I would go over, I had an interpreter, and I would pray, and everything was okay. And the imam, one of them started crying, breaking out crying in tears, and that's what the gospel does. It projects your sinfulness, and it convicts us, and it shows us how broken we really are. And then you say, well, hey, there is a catch, though. Like, there's Jesus. Like, Jesus came, and he's died for you, and he can take away in this pain, this suffering from you, that you genuinely have. Like, I know you have like a hard, like Indonesians, they smile a lot, and so really down, though, when you really get down to it, to the heart, you can tell there's brokenness there. And so with him, with the imam, like he came to Christ, one of them that we're praying for, and it was all the work of the Holy Spirit just randomly working just daily. And that's what I want to challenge you guys with, is to, for one day, don't have an agenda. Just say, Holy Spirit, lead me. And just try to have that stillness and that quietness to just allow him to just start or if it's a random person that he puts on your mind, start praying for him, and then pray for him daily, and encourage someone. And that's something I've realized, like, so much about the gospel and how the Holy Spirit works is, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, I forget where, but it talks about don't look out for the interests of yourself, but for the interests of others. And so even here today, like speaking to you guys, I was having to remind myself, it's not about me at all. I don't want to be glorified for any of this. I want to look out for your guys' interests. Like, I want to encourage you. I want to speak life into you guys through the Word of God. And I want to allow the Holy Spirit to work. And so that's how we should be daily. We should be looking out for others' interests. Really ask them, how are you doing? How are you genuinely doing? And if you have that perfect love, which I'll talk about, then it allows them to open up. And through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, you can heal that brokenness. And but yeah, it starts from that perfect love, and it starts from being led by the Spirit, so you can be put in those type of situations in the first place when you're not thinking about yourself but others. Helps. So that's, yeah, I kind of went off on rabbit trails, but I love doing that. That's kind of wisdom. And what I, at the end of this verse that I was talking about earlier is, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So I was asking myself, what does it really mean to love God? What does that look like? Because I say this a lot, is I knew of God, but what's that love genuinely like? Like, how am I loving him? And so I wanted to, where can I turn first? I have so many verses on love, because love is everywhere in the Bible, especially the New Testament. Let's turn to John, 1 John 3:16 first. That'll give us a good foundation on what love is. Okay, you all ready? Okay, so this is what it says. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Man, is that powerful or what? Because that was a point where the Holy Spirit really started working, convicting me, is what's perfect love? What's genuine love? And it's this. It's that Christ laid down his life for us. Like, he did it. It's not a storybook 2,000 years ago. It's something that actually happened in history. Like, this event happened, and through history to now, it's revolutionized the world. When you start getting out in Africa and other places, it's real. It's not just in our little cubicle in Wyoming. It's everywhere in the world. Like, this love, this genuine love, it happened. And it's powerful when you start getting it. I want to encourage you guys to, if you can, to try to get out, to go with Matt to Benin or other places of the world, to see this genuine love impacting all nations. And that's something, that's when you realize, wow, this is love. This is what defines love. It's laying down your life. It's that basis. And I want to turn to, just a little hop in to skip again. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 4:7. It's talking about God's love and ours. So it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And so, something I was thinking about, I was just in LA this last weekend speaking at a conference for North Korea. And I was meditating on love. And I'll go into this after, but it's in 1 Corinthians. I want to see how we represent love, so we'll replace love with our name. But I was realizing what Jesus did on the cross. What does that really look like to me? How much do I really love God to lay down my life for my brothers? And so I realized I need to receive that first. I need to receive what he really did, because I don't think I truly believed it enough to where I lived it out daily. And one of the things, this is a really hard image, but if you guys could, just picture someone you love most, picture them on a cross. Like it's not a good sight, right? It's like, what emotions does that bring? Like the person you love most in this world, like here in this earth, to see him on a cross. For me, like emotionally, it hurts me to see that, and to really see someone I love so much, even a child, or my grandma, or my parents, like to see them on a cross. But something I've realized is this genuine love? I need to. Sometimes I would rather, in my mind, and I do this, I'll be honest, and I'm working on it, but sometimes I'd rather almost say, Jesus, I'm glad, I'd rather see Jesus on a cross than my loved ones, or I'd rather see my loved ones on a cross than Jesus. Like, it goes back and forth, and something I've realized, though, what's so powerful is the victory that Jesus actually did, that he conquered. To where I can actually be talking to you guys about this because I wouldn't be talking to you guys about this if Jesus didn't conquer death. But if we can really genuinely understand what Jesus did and how he conquered that death, then it should bring us joy from what he did, because now throughout all the ages, people have the choice to live eternal, to have eternal life. And when you think of that, how little our life is here. It's just a little dot, you know, on earth, in contrast to eternity. It's insane to really fathom that, to really see that. And so that's something I wanted to really challenge you guys with, is to really try to encounter Jesus and know him more and more, to where you can really love him more than you love your spouse, you love your child, you love your grandma. Like that's genuine love, and it first comes from receiving it. So meditating on the gospel, saying, wow, God, I have a heartbeat right now. My mind can think. And when we start counting, I love this saying, when we start counting the millions of our blessings that God has given us all around us, when we start seeing that, it completely defeats the hundreds of problems that we have. Because if we really think about it and we really see it, there's so many blessings, millions of blessings just inside of us right now, how I'm even able to talk. Everything that God is triggering, that he's allowing me to even have a mind and a heart to speak to you guys. That's part of perfect love. And okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Dive into love a little more. Okay, guys, this was tough for me. But life isn't always easy. And that's something I realized is God, he wants to refine us like gold. Sometimes you gotta gold, you have to scorch it. and to purify it. And that's what happens in our lives a lot of times is, man, I've been through some rough times, but now that I look at it, I see how much joy it's really accumulated. Looking back at it and seeing the goodness that God brings is he's refining me. He's teaching me to rely on him in those tough times. And that's what refines that gold. That's what makes me pure. And, wow, is it powerful when you start realizing that more and more. It blows my mind away. So this is something that God kind of spoke to me. And this book, I don't know if you guys know Francis Chan. He's a pastor in California. But he talked about love. And it's called Crazy Love, this book. And so he kind of triggered this idea. I'll just give us a couple minutes. I'll just give us a couple minutes to just go through it. Start in 4 and go to 7. And if you don't have a Bible, just share with someone, but just replace your name and what I love doing first is with Jesus, knowing that God is love. And so first I like going through and I like saying, God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. And start writing it on your heart. Instead of just making it something you know, write it on your heart and apply that. And that's part of receiving it, is meditating on it. And so, yeah, let's just give us a couple minutes, but replace your name, because we're supposed to represent love because God is love. So I want to see how you guys represent love in myself. So this is kind of fun. So yeah, just go through it. Take out love and put your name and go through that. Okay, I'll put myself in the headlights. So, Jeremiah is patient. Jeremiah is kind. Jeremiah does not envy. Jeremiah does not boast. Jeremiah is not proud. Jeremiah is not rude. He's not self-seeking. Jeremiah is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. Jeremiah does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So that's, yeah, isn't it? How easy would that be if we really keep no records of wrongs? Like, especially being in a small town, when we see people, a lot of times it's like, oh, that guy, that dirtbag, he, you know, like you probably think some of those things if you're being honest. And something though that really changed, like when I went to Korea and Indonesia, God really started showing me this perfect love. And oh, I hated this question, but this question would just pop into my head. Jeremiah, would you die for that person? Would you die for them? So, a lot of the times no, Lord, no. Oh, no, definitely not that person. Or no, not, you know? And man, he started working on my heart more and more to where first, I started praying for him. And that's what I learned is, in biblically, how it says, pray for those who persecute you, or bless those that curse you. And so I started doing that. And boy, did that change my heart to where, and it's all God's grace and mercy, but I started asking myself genuinely, like, would I lay down my life for that person? Because I know what Jesus did on the cross, that is worth dying for. And when you really start to fathom that and grasp that, of course, like that, there's no doubt, because you see what it does to these countries. You see what it does to these nations, to these people groups, when they're in complete poverty and their loved ones are dying all around them. And they have nowhere to go. Jesus is there for them. And like, yes, I would lay down my life for someone in a village to understand that, because I know when I lay down my life, the gospel spreads and it encourages more people. And that's when you really start having that type of love, is you can see eternal. And so I don't look at people in the flesh. Like, I look at their souls and I ask myself, how can I encourage their soul? What their soul longs for? How can I encourage their character right now, their godly character? How can I be praying for them? How can I just be there for them? And, or pray silently and not even tell them I'm praying for them? Stuff like that. That's part of that perfect love. And so I want to challenge you guys, is meditate on that. Reflect on that, and not only on how you're doing this, but you need to receive it first from God. You need to meditate on how God has this love for you, and then how you can apply this throughout your day. Boy, will it change your day when you're vulnerable and you allow God to work like that. And okay, I gotta make this quick. If we're in Africa, I could talk for hours.
Exactly.
Tell me about it. I have the same problem. I guess we're on an agenda, though. We gotta... But so the last point I kind of want to transition into, and this is pretty powerful when I started seeing it. Sorry I'm not sharing that much about my testimony. I hope you're getting a little. But I want to talk about the armor of God, and basically how I believe the Holy Spirit, He enables us to put on the full armor of God. So let's turn to Ephesians 6:10. And when I was meditating on this verse, I realized I had some issues. How I always thought that life would be so easy if I turned to God. But if God wanted that, then He'd, in the armor of God, He'd probably say, put a margarita in your hand and go to a beach. And lay out a lawn chair, you know? Like, if it was that easy, if God was really going to protect us in all these ways, which He does, and that's something I realized. But another thing I realized, though, is there is sin still in this world. We live in a fallen world. Our hearts, part of our hearts, they're prone to sin when the Holy Spirit's not working in them. And sometimes we want to curse God, or we want to hate others, and we all these things. And that's something I realized, is a lot of it's all by God's grace that we can even be here today, that we can be breathing. And it's what He's doing in our hearts that enables us to have that genuine type of love for others. And to be praying, not just for outward, that they'll be safe, but praying for their soul, because that affects their eternal destiny. And something I realized with the armor of God is, boy, is it important. I think the church nowadays, I know a lot of others, they don't really meditate on armor of God. And that's something that hit me really hard, that I just wanted to focus on, is I want you guys to meditate on. I'm sure, I know you guys probably have, but I just want to say, go deep, deep, deep into this as much as you can, into the armor of God, and to just, and this is for me too. So I'm not trying to like say, hey, you guys don't have armor. I don't have armor. So we're on the same page. And so that's something that was very crucial, is God gave us armor for a reason. You know, he gave it for a reason. And each piece of the armor that we utilize, it is important to have. And so as a man, like loving kind of violent things, I look at in battle, like if I'm in battle and I have my helmet on, if my helmet gets knocked off, boy, is that crucial, because I could take a bullet to the head or back, I could take it, like that's a vital area. And so that's what I realized, our salvation, knowing our salvation daily. And something I realized also is I don't put on the armor daily. I had in my mind, once I put on my armor once, then I'll have it forever. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's a daily reoccurrence. And like I was saying before, when you really start your day and you say, Lord, I'm yours, use me to bless, to speak into people's souls, into their lives, you're putting on the armor of God. And I think it's so important, even, and you guys can, I don't have time. I wanted to go through each one. You guys can do that this week. But meditate on each one and see what that means to you guys. Having a helmet of salvation, we need to remind ourselves daily that we're saved. You know, it's something that's so important and so crucial. And that's what enables us to go throughout the day with perfect love, loving others. Because perfect love, it casts out all fear. When we start fearing and we're scared and we feel like we're in trouble, then we're not meditating on our salvation. We're not really believing the truth then if we're so worried, you know? Because God, perfect love, it casts out all the fear. And so that's something that's amazing. Something I saw too, I wanted to share real quick is when I was in Korea, we're on the DMZ border. Now, I plan to do a lot of work there in North Korea. If it's God's will, which he's making it pretty clear to me that he wants me to. But we're on the DMZ border. And that's the line between South and North Korea. And there's about 5,000-6,000 Koreans that gathered there. And people international too. And just to pray. And that was insane. Realizing the power of prayer to just, and I almost pictured because I was at that time, I was going through the armor of God. So I was like, okay, I got all my armor on. Do I have my helmet? Oh no, I'm missing my belt. I got to get truth on, or, you know, something like that. And like really with the mind though, figuring that out. And so as I watched, I pictured and I visualized, it was all God like allowing me to see this, but prayer arrows going into North Korea, like all these arrows, realizing how like pure and genuine these arrows are to be launched of fire, like fire from the Holy Spirit, just punching people in this, like the heart, you know, these arrows just piercing into them, allowing them to see truth. And that's what I saw. And then I took like a look back and like God allowed me to see all the nations and to see how important we are as prayer warriors. How we can be sending, shooting these arrows into Africa, into other places, and to actually know they're making a difference into people's lives. And so that's something that was so important with prayer. And then with unity, I'm getting back to unity now. What I was telling you guys about earlier is the importance of unity. And so when you're in a ranking and you see a soldier go out on his own and you see him... like, say he's one of your best friends. Like, this is a church. This is a body. You see a soldier go out, and they're just getting brutally attacked. Are you guys going to run the other way? Like, when that happens? I doubt it, right? Like, you guys are going to go to their aid, and you're going to take off that armor, and with love and vulnerability, they're going to tell you, like, where they hit him, like, where it hurts him, every part of his being and his soul, like... How you can be praying for them. And that's something I see with prayer is the Holy Spirit, when God enables us to randomly, or not random, but God's will, when God puts someone on our hearts to pray for, that's what we're doing through our prayer. Is these are brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to their rescue because we know they need aid. And so daily throughout prayer, or seeing someone that, when we're so self-centered or focused on ourselves throughout the day, where God says, go pray for that person. You're like, nope. You know, you're walking the other way. I don't think we realize this is the armor of God. This is people in our rankings. Like, we need to go help them because they're crying out, or God is telling us because of our culture, we have to act really tough on the outside. You know, but inside, man, they're getting beat up. And like, that's something, just a simple prayer for someone. Hey, can I just pray for you? And like throughout the day, like that, I don't think we realize or we know the outcome of how that can put them back in the ranks to where as unified as we can be as Pinedale, as all the churches coming together, how unified we can be in our ranks, standing against the evil one. But that's something I realized too, is if we allow, without perfect love, if we allow like some denominations to get in the way or past hurts that someone's done and other things, and it's not out of perfect love, we're an army without any armor. Because God is love, and if we don't have that pure and perfect love, how are we ever supposed to put on that full armor of God to where we can stand against the enemy? We can't. And that's what I see is throughout this town and praying for others and praying to their souls and reaching out into different churches. I see how important it is to unify the body. Because if we unify the body, think how easy it would be to reach Pinedale. Like if all the churches here in Pinedale that believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, if we all went out one day to tell others about Christ, we could reach all Pinedale. Like how easy is that if we work together? But how often I see it is we try to work individually in our rankings against a big army, because I don't think we realize how big of an army here, how evil, like evil and Satan, he has a big army too. And so through God and through the power of God, like that's what unites us. And so that's something that I found is so important. And what's so important too is being vulnerable, is allowing, like when we're hurt, first what the Holy Spirit allows us to do is to see where we hurt. Like, oh, where are you hurt? And to oh man, like, that's a bad example. I would say maybe my doubts of my salvation, or brokenness of relationships, or brokenness of trust. I open that up to you guys, and I say, hey, man, I'm hurt right here. I need help. Like, that's part of genuine love, that vulnerability. And so when you can be vulnerable in a body, that's what brings you together, so you're very strengthened then to where you can fight. And it's so, so crucial to tell people that. Because if you hold it in, the enemy, they know your weak spots. So they're just going to keep shooting arrows in, arrows of doubt, arrows of like you're worthless, all these things into you to where you, that's what you think. And then instead of thinking that your body is there to help you, you think they're there to judge you. And then you start running further away because you haven't understood or received perfect love from God to say, no, like they're messed up just as much as I am, but we need to help each other. Like we're in this fight all together. Like we need to unify each other. So yeah, that was one of the last things I wanted to share. And so, yeah, I'll just, a little late. But yeah, I'll just close in prayer. And yeah, if you guys have like any of those hurts or anything like you guys haven't really opened up to, like I'd say, yeah, like tell your brothers and sisters, tell Matt. And that's how we grow. That's through praying, through uniting each other. Like it feels so, it's perfect love. There's nothing better. Like it feels so good to where you can just completely open up to someone, and then out of their perfect love they heal you through the Holy Spirit and their prayer. And so yeah, I'm just gonna break down in prayer. So I want all you guys to put your hand on your heart right now. Just feel it beat. And yeah, I just want to let you guys know that God is allowing that heart to beat. He knew that heart before you were even born. He set it apart. And each single one of you guys aren't worthless at all. God allows that heart to beat for a reason, because he wants to use you to build the kingdom. That's what he's all about. And so that heart beating right now, this proof that God loves you, that he's allowing you to breathe right now, to focus on him and his love. And so if you guys can, like through your vulnerability, what I love doing is just almost like you're grabbing your heart, just put it out in front of you with everything. Don't let anyone else steal your praise, thinking of what someone else thinks. It doesn't matter when you're before God. And just say to God, Lord, I have parts of my heart that are broken right now. They're hurt, Lord, and I can't do this on my own, even though I've tried sometimes. Lord, I need you, God. I need you completely to heal this heart that you know, Lord. And so I pray, Father, for all of our hearts, God, as we just open them up to you, God, that you heal any little thing, God, or any big thing, God, that is just allowing us to not love or to see life, to see all the beauty in life, God. So just open our eyes, Father, to just receive your love into our hearts. Pour your love into our hearts and allow us to receive it, God, so we therefore can bring your good news, Jesus, to others. And for you guys that maybe aren't there yet, where you might not know Jesus, you might not know what he did. It starts with a simple prayer, and it starts with having that vulnerability to know that you can't do this on your own. Like, you can't. Life is too tough. It's going to chew you up and spit you out sometimes, or most times. But with God, he's our anchor. He allows us to have a good perspective in all our pain and suffering, and to give him glory and praise and worship, and to know that he is our everything. And so if you guys aren't there, just pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I believe in you. I have hard times. I really do. My heart hurts. It aches. It's in pain. But with you, Jesus, in your perfect love, you can cast all that pain and sorrow away. If I believe in you, and I know, Holy Spirit, that you dwell within me. So come, Holy Spirit, fill me with your love and your comfort. And allow me to receive love from my brothers and sisters, to be encouraged in these times where I need you most. So if you guys prayed that, to accept Jesus into your heart, to know him, to take away any of that pain or suffering, which I need to daily, to put on the helmet of salvation, just talk to Matt afterwards, and he'd love to pray with you, and I would love to pray with you. And even though distance may put me so far apart from you guys, that doesn't stop God from answering my prayers for you guys. And so you guys can open your eyes, and I just want to thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here. And I know it. Sometimes it's not easy. Like, I had so much on my mind because I'm leaving for Seoul. Still have to pack a little and all this. But I realized, man, who cares? It's not about me. Like, it's about you guys. It's about speaking into your hearts, into your souls, into allowing, to allow you guys to receive that love that I've received from God. And so, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And, I bless you guys.